Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're so glad you joined us today for a very interesting topic. I'm your teacher, Ruth. I spend most of my time in Montana, but I'm back here in Taiwan, and I'm happy to be on the air and spending some time with you. And Campbell and Amanda are here with us. We're going to be talking about love and technology. Do you think of those two things together very often, Campbell?
I do, but usually in my mind it's kind of a negative, you know, a negative connotation. The idea that kind of technology kind of separates people. They don't really talk as much as they used to, but that's not what we're talking about today. Actually, what we're going to find out is technology is actually helping relationships.
That's right. And to some people, that might be a surprise. Is that surprising to you, Amanda?
Not really, because I am one of those people that uses technology for communicating. But I understand what Campbell means, because often when I'm outside, I do see a lot of couples, for example, using their phones and not communicating with each other.
Yeah, I was just thinking, back in Montana, I went to a restaurant and there was a couple, obviously on a date. They were sitting across the table from each other and they were both on their phones.
Right.
And I thought, are they texting each other or somebody else? Or?
Right.
And you do see that a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, as we see in our article here, if you open your magazines to pages 14 and 15, you see that tweets and texts have become a new norm in how today's couples communicate. Are they a norm for you, Amanda?
They are. They are a new norm, and it has become that way over time. I would say in the past, it was not, but it has definitely now become an acceptable way that I communicate every day.
And when we look at the word norm, we're used to seeing the word normal. That means every day and something that we're used to. So a norm just means that. It's something that we do all the time. So, Campbell, how many times a day do you text your lovely wife?
I don't know. I lose count, you know. I think with the invention of new communication apps, it just makes it a lot easier. Because in the past, you know, texts costs money. So you'd be very careful about how many texts you send. But now it's all free and you can send as many words as you want and it doesn't matter.
Right. And I'm sure most of you listeners are online or WeChat or something where it's just easy to send an instant message. So that's why it's easy to say, I love you, maybe 25 times a day.
Right.
Or more. Well, let's find out more about this interesting topic. Let's begin reading in line one.
Love, technology, and the modern couple. Tweets and texts have become a new norm in how today's couples communicate. Thanks to smartphones, telling your partner, I love you, has never been easier. And according to some new research, it's probably making your relationship stronger, too. Technology's relational impact. There's no denying technology's impact on modern relationships, just as there's no denying technology's impact on modern, well, everything. Websites and apps such as Match.com, OkCupid, and Tinder have changed the way Americans meet and date. A 2013 study from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences found that more than one-third of all U.S. marriages now begin through online dating, which has grown into a $2 billion a year industry, according to IBISWorld. And, of course, they've changed how we communicate. Facebook, Twitter, iMessage, WhatsApp, Snapchat, and Instagram have replaced phone. You know, that green button with the handset on it, as the communication apps of choice.
So, Amanda, do you agree with this first sentence? Thanks to smartphones, telling your partner or your husband, I love you, has never been easier.
I would definitely agree with that. And that is something that I actually do, and I use technology or, in fact, my smartphone for that reason.
Well, that's great. And according to some new research we learned, it's making your relationship stronger, probably because there's more communication between the two of you.
That's right. I think technology really, it's not just, you know, husband and wife, but I think any type of relationship. I think with parents and children, sometimes parents need to go away for business. It makes it easier for them to be able to connect connect with their children face-to-face, even through a computer.
Right, like doing FaceTime with your child who's 3,000 miles away when you're somewhere on business.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's no denying technology's impact on modern relationships. How do you think it's changed modern relationships?
I think it means we can rely on technology to build those relationships rather than calling somebody. Mm-hmm. So I would use LINE instead of actually calling them.
So why is it that people prefer sending a note online to picking up the phone and calling? Why is that?
I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think one reason is it's almost more instant. You know, you can connect right away. Of course, when you call, you're talking to them instantly too. But I think also when you're writing, you kind of have more time to think. In a way, you know, you're less likely to say something you don't mean because you have time to actually write, and if you make a mistake, you can delete it. So you kind of have a way of filtering,
Or I know sometimes for me, if I don't want to get into a long conversation with someone, if I just send a text, I can get my message across and not have to take a long time to communicate that same thing.
Exactly.
So I don't think any of us would deny that technology has an impact on relationships. And there's no denying the impact on everything. We all know that, on conversations, on the way business is done, everything. Mm-hmm. And according to some websites and apps, it's completely changed the way Americans meet.
Right. Yes, for sure. I think I remember when I was younger, the idea of meeting someone online and, you know, going on a date with them, there was kind of a negative connotation to that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, oh, that's kind of sketchy. It's kind of dangerous. But
kind
now,
weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like you can't find a date in real life. You need to depend on the internet, you know. But now it's actually very common and more people are doing it. And it's just very, as we were saying, the word norm. It's a norm now.
And it's not considered weird. It's considered normal. And this is how people meet. In fact, they did a study that says now that more than one third of all U.S. marriages start with online dating. Mm-hmm. That's quite a significant percentage.
Yeah.
That is a lot. And I think in the past, people would meet face to face, and now they're able to just use their smartphone to meet each other.
Right. So, I mean, if you think about back a few hundred years ago, your husband or wife is probably somebody you grew up with, someone you lived in the same city as, you know, or in the same neighborhood as. But now, you know, people are meeting each other from around the world, and, you know, you've got people getting together from different countries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then don't you think, sometimes when you start a relationship that way, you develop an idea in your mind of what that person is like.
For sure.
And then when you actually meet them, they don't meet your expectation.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's an interesting aspect of it as well.
I think that's interesting because you see the different companies that are producing apps for meeting people online. And a lot of these different companies try to meet those different needs and expectations. Do you want more information? Do you want less information? Are you willing to pay more money to get more information? Mm-hmm. They use all those things as well.
But as Campbell was saying earlier, you know, when you send a text or you write something, you do have time to prepare to make it sound exactly right.
Right.
So people can do that. They can create a person that isn't really them online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that, you know, people who date online are quite aware of that. Mm-hmm. Now, is online dating a profitable business?
Oh, yes, for sure. We see here that it is a $2 billion a year industry. That means every year this industry creates $2 billion.
So there's money in love, too.
Yes.
And that's according to IBIS World, which must be some kind of research firm.
Yes.
And, of course, modern technology has changed how we communicate. Facebook, Twitter, iMessage, WhatsApp, Snapchat, Instagram, and here in Asia, of course, we add LINE, Viber, WeChat, so many of them. Which one of those do you use the most often, Amanda?
I use LINE and Facebook.
How about you, Campbell?
I use Facebook, LINE, and WhatsApp. We see Twitter here, and just to make a point about that, in our deck, it says tweets and texts have become a new norm. So just to let you know, a tweet is basically a message that someone sends on Twitter, just in case you were wondering what a tweet is.
good point. And I know, and it used to be that tweets were limited to a certain number of characters.
Right.
But I think they've changed that now, and it's become,
sure.
It can be as many as you want.
Yeah, now you can post videos and pictures and mm-hmm. different
like
things.
Like you can on iMessage.
Exactly.
iMessage or WhatsApp mm-hmm. or something.
Right.
So,
yes.
And they have replaced the phone. And then I like this comment. You know that green button with the handset on it. And I think, you know, if you have an iPhone, you always see that when you want to make a call. There's
right.
a little green button with the handset.
Yes.
And that's one of our key words, which just means the part of the phone that you hold to your ear.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, a lot of young people don't even know why that icon would be on there. Because, you know, most modern phones now don't have that handset. So I'm sure a lot of younger kids are wondering, what is that exactly?
Yeah. Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because this past summer I was in an antique store with my daughter, who's 11,
right.
and she saw a phone that had the handset and the dial,
yeah.
you know, the round thing where you put your finger in. She goes,
mm-hmm.
Mom, what's that?
Wow.
And I thought, of course, she's never seen that before. And
yep.
probably some of our younger listeners have never seen that before
right.
either.
Yeah. It reminds me of one time I was talking to my cousin. He's 7, and we were talking about film, and he's like, what is film? Because he's never, you know, they've only seen digital cameras, they've never used film
right.
before. So
and other ways that technology has changed the way we communicate, and you know, the younger ones of us don't even know about it. So we see, just from this paragraph to sum up, that online communication and online dating are the wave of now. They're
yes.
not the wave
mm-hmm.
of the future, but they're here now. So now let's find out a little bit about how technology is strengthening relationships. Let's continue reading in the second column.
Strengthening relationships. For tech-savvy couples, the communication possibilities today are seemingly endless. Texting apps allow partners to communicate throughout the day, regardless of where they are. And while there are some dangers that accompany regular texting with your partner, such as texting too frequently or using text messages to have serious conversations, couples that exchange affectionate texts can actually enhance their relationships. A new report from the Pew Research Center shows that 21% of people in committed relationships say they felt closer to their spouse or partner because of exchanges they had either online or via text message. People will text no matter what. It's too convenient, says Lori Schad, Ph.D., a licensed marriage and family therapist in Salt Lake City, Utah. But if they use text messages purposefully to put money in the relationship bank, so to speak, by being positive, they might be developing a type of relationship resilience to weather future storms.
So, Campbell, would you call yourself tech savvy?
I guess so. I mean, I do use technology a lot, and I do know how to use technology. So, yeah, I would say I'm tech savvy. I like that word savvy.
I do too, meaning someone who has practical knowledge and the ability to do something. And you can be savvy about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure most of our listeners are savvy about technology, and you can be savvy about interpersonal relationships too,
mm-hmm.
if you're very good at them.
You can be shopping savvy, good
yeah.
at getting deals.
Fashion savvy.
Yes.
Lots of different ways to be savvy. And tech-savvy couples, the possibilities for communication are seemingly endless. I mean, we already listed all the different ways that we can message each other. And what does texting allow partners to do or spouses to do?
It allows them to communicate throughout the day, regardless of where they are. So it doesn't matter your location, you can continue to do it throughout your whole day.
Right. For example, if you're in a meeting, you're not going to be able to pick up a phone and have a conversation, but you could pick up your phone and just send a quick message.
Yeah.
Right. Because sometimes maybe you forgot to do something at home and you can send a quick message and say, oh, I forgot to do this. Please help me out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's very handy. And it doesn't interrupt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one of you is here in Asia and another one is in America, you can text back and forth. It's
mm-hmm.
very convenient. It doesn't matter the time zone difference either.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It basically shrinks the world. It makes the world a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the word regardless there. You often hear people say, irregardless, which is not a word. So if you ever see that word, don't use it. Regardless is the correct meaning. It means it doesn't matter where you are. Now, there may be some dangers that accompanying texting your partner. What might those dangers be?
Well, we mentioned a few of those earlier. The idea is, you know, when we text, you can present yourself in a certain way, so that can give a, you know, misleading kind of presentation of yourself. But also, words can be misread. You know, I'm reading something you wrote, I'm adding my own inflections, my own, you know, my own emotions into your words that maybe you don't mean at all, and they can be misconstrued.
That's right. Or sometimes, because texting is so easy, you do it often, often, until it becomes an irritation, like, oh, I can't believe they're sending me another text.
It can get in the way of your work, too. If you are having a conversation and it just keeps going and going and going, and you know you've got to get that work done, sometimes you just have to say, no, enough.
Right.
Or sometimes if you're having a conversation with another person and you keep getting texts and you keep going, oh, excuse me, I'll answer the text. Oh, excuse me, answer the text.
Right.
That's not fair to the person you're actually talking face-to-face with.
Exactly.
And the article mentions another danger of texting, and what's that?
It's having serious conversations through text message. I think, Campbell, you mentioned that slightly, just with regard to perhaps the way you're saying something may be misinterpreted when you're text messaging.
Right.
And when you're trying to discuss something quite serious, you may have miscommunication.
Mm-hmm. Right, because, I mean, when we communicate, it's more than just about our words, right? Mm-hmm. It's about our tone, it's about our facial expressions, it's about our body language, all these things go into communicating what we're trying to say. So when we just see words on a screen, it's black and white, and so we're kind of putting meaning into these words that maybe are there or aren't there.
That's a very good point. In fact, another article we're going to have later this month talks about real conversation and how people are even forgetting how to do that because they're so used to sending texts. But I think for the reasons that we mentioned, we don't want to have serious conversations through text because of all those intangible things that you can't communicate just in words on a screen.
Right. Just as a funny side note, though, you know how our phones have that dictation mode where you can speak to it and it'll type for you?
Mm-hmm.
My wife likes to add emotion to it when she says, "Hi, how are you? It is good to see." And I'm like, honey, your phone is not going to register your emotion. You don't need to do that. Anyway, that's just a funny side note.
But she's so used to doing that when she talks to someone
exactly.
in person,
yes.
you think it should be able to be
right.
communicated.
Yeah.
So probably texting too often or trying to have a serious conversation maybe isn't a very good idea. But couples can exchange affectionate texts, and those can enhance emails or enhance relationships.
Yes.
I agree. And I like that word affectionate. That's also one of our vocabulary words. It just means to show feelings of like or love. And I think that's really important to keep that connection throughout the day. It can cheer them up too if something's not going right or they're meeting a challenge throughout their day.
So different messages like, hey, beautiful, or I'm just thinking about you, hope you're doing well, I love you, things like that.
Or you're awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
And those are an encouragement because then you know, oh, someone I love is thinking about me.
That's right.
But again, we don't want to overdo that. So affectionate texts can enhance relationships. In fact, the Pew Research Center, which again is another polling organization in the United States, they take polls and get information about social issues. They said that 21% of people in committed relationships say they felt closer because of exchanges online or with text. Does that surprise you?
That's quite a high percentage. It does not surprise me if I think about how often I actually use it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of other people are as well. And so the number doesn't surprise me. No.
Right. Yeah, I was just talking to my dad recently about this because, you know, oftentimes at work we have to go away for business. And they're just talking about how I can, you know, FaceTime my family and talk to them on Skype and things like that. He's like, you have it so easy because, you know, when I was born, my dad went to the States to study. I was born here in Asia. He went to the United States. He didn't see me for 2 years. You know, he only got pictures, and he talked to me on the phone. That's the extent of what we had back then, you know.
Exactly.
But now, I can talk to my children wherever I am in the world, you know, just through the phone and through Skype and through FaceTime.
Right. And not only can you talk to them, but you can see them.
Exactly. Mm.
You can, and if you have the same book, you can read a story to them on Skype.
Mm. Yes.
In fact, even in the United States now, you can get a toy where you can record your voice on the toy, and then that will, and your son or daughter can play it back while you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So technology is amazing for that way, keeping in contact.
Mm-hmm.
And this PhD here, Lori Shade or Sade, says people will text no matter what. It's too convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And do people ever send you texts that you think, why did they tell me that?
Often I'll get texts from people that are in the next room. I'm like, why did you send a text? You could just come next door. But it is the convenience of it. It really is.
Yeah, well, I got a text this morning from somebody who took a picture of what they were having for breakfast. And I thought, okay, that's nice, but... And that just shows how convenient it is.
Right.
Just, and maybe, you know, you just want to share everything.
Right.
It wasn't a particularly beautiful breakfast either, but it was fun.
Right.
So this PhD here, Lori, a licensed marriage and family therapist, so she helps people with their relationships.
Mm.
And she says, but if they use text messages purposefully to put money in the relationship bank, so to speak. Now, that's a good sentence.
Mm.
What does it mean to put something in the bank? We know we can put money in the bank. But what else can we bank?
Well, when we put money in the bank, it's the idea of saving it. And so that we have this money, we have extra in case there's an emergency. But we also want to store up love, right? So here we're talking about actually storing up love in a relationship bank so that, you know, when you maybe hit a bumpy road or hit a bumpy spot in your relationship, you can draw on that love storage that you've had.
That's very true. Because sometimes if you have a disagreement or an argument with either a close friend or your spouse or your partner, then you can remember, okay, but I know that he or she really does care because I can remember all these different things that happened that showed that they care. Mm-hmm. And it does help you get over that relationship bump.
Right.
So that's putting money in the relationship bank, investing the time so when it's not easy to communicate or you have a problem, this will kind of smooth that over.
Mm.
And we have the phrase, so to speak, which means to explain something that you're not using in a direct way, but it's more metaphorical, I guess.
Mm.
For example, I have a dog who I love very much. I could say, my dog is my baby, so to speak, because the dog really isn't my baby, but it's that kind of relationship idea.
Right.
Or maybe you help a friend with their doing their taxes or their tax reforms, and then you could say, I'm their accountant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you're not really that thing, but the relationship is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So again, they go on to say you're being positive because you're developing relationship resilience to weather the storms, which is just what we said. What is resilience, Amanda?
It means able to come back to the original position of something or quickly return to its original state or even a happier state than it was before.
Right. Being able to endure. So the idea of bouncing back.
Yeah.
So when we talk about a storm, you know, maybe there's a death in the family or there's, you know, someone loses their job or just different challenges that people might face in a relationship.
Mm.
But the resilience means that this doesn't break the relationship, actually helps them to be able to continue and that maybe their relationship actually ends up being stronger afterwards.
Right.
Right. And resilience is the noun. We often talk about a person being resilient, the adjective. And a resilient person bounces back from hardships very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good quality to have because some people, it takes them forever to recover.
Yes.
And that can be hard on all those around them.
Right.
Mm. How about weathering a storm?
Yeah, now that is just a picture to describe challenges or difficulties in our life. You know, a storm is not a pleasant time or a pleasant thing to go through. And so the challenges you face in your life or difficulties you face in your life are just used as a picture of being in a storm.
That's right. Just like sometimes here in Taiwan, we weather a storm when we have a typhoon. We have to go through it and endure it and last until the end.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes when you've had a fight or a disagreement with someone you care about, that's a storm because you're kind of unsure and you're embarrassed and maybe you're a little bit angry and you just have to get through that difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
So texting believe it or not, can help that because you've already assured that person so many different times before that you love and care about them.
But I think the key here is purposefully, right? Using text messages purposefully. So not just saying, hey, how are you? Oh, can you close the refrigerator or can you turn off the stove? But actually sending messages of love, like I love you and I'm thinking about you and hope you're having a great day, things like that.
Exactly, because that does encourage people that we love. So, in fact, you know, if you look around here on this page, you can see some little marks there that you can use modern technology to find more about our lesson. And we hope you'll take a look at the insights and the different features that we have to go along with this. And think about that. Think about how technology has affected your relationship with your friends or your husband or wife, and think if it has strengthened it or not. And maybe just take a minute right now and text someone you care about and say, I love you, or I'm thinking about you. Encourage them. And we're encouraged that you come to class faithfully every day. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue talking about how modern communication is strengthening relationships. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.